Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, you be glorified. We do praise you. We thank you that we have this time together with you. We thank you that we have this time when you can reveal yourself to us through your word. So we are open to receive all that you have for us this morning. You be glorified, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated this morning. Do you mind if I move Timothy to a different place? Has everybody met Timothy, our church mouse? We'll give him a place of honor this morning. Speaking of honor, my mom is here. So you guys have seen my mom before. Make her feel welcome. My brother's also here. He's next to my mom. And my sister-in-law. So what, did they not let you sit in the same row with them, Amy? What? Anyway, I've said before that anything that's good that you see in Todd, it comes first of all from Jesus Christ. It was probably fostered at a young age through my mom and the love that she's given me. It's been personified. It's been focused. It has been made come to pass by this one right here. So all those good. Now, anything bad you see in me? It's my brother. Just saying. It's from Dan. Okay, so 3 weeks ago, well, not 3 weeks ago. This is February already. Man, this year is going by fast. So we started the year with three different messages or three lessons talking about getting to know the Holy Spirit. Now, we got away from that for a couple of weeks because Don and I were in Israel. And thank you, Jim, by the way. Thank you so much for filling in. I heard so many good things about it. Very much appreciate it. No, I haven't heard it yet. It is online. Good. Okay. I will listen to it. But I heard a lot of good things, so I do appreciate it. And then, of course, last week, Don and I spent, well, Donna didn't. I spent time sharing some of the insights that Don and I had gotten from our time in Israel, which was great, by the way. I cannot wait to go back a year from now. God just did so many great things, so I'm really looking forward to it. We'll have some more information. I think next week we should know the times, the prices, and all that. So I'm looking forward to that. That's coming up in a year from now. But right now, I want to get back to getting to know the Holy Spirit, right? You guys ready for that? That really wasn't, pardon the pun, that really wasn't a spirited response to getting back to knowing the Holy Spirit, but we'll move forward anyway. So here's some of the things that we've already learned. Now, this is just like a small little microcosm of 3 weeks, but here's some of the things we've learned that are relevant. And if you weren't here, it kind of brings you up to speed a little bit. The Holy Spirit is a person. In order for us to fully know God, we have to know the entirety of God, which means knowing Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit is the vehicle by which God dwells in us, and in turn, the Holy Spirit is the vehicle by which we dwell in God. This is a beyond belief reality. I mean, to think about the fact that God Himself dwells within you, it's beyond belief, but it's reality. So this is why it's so important for us to kind of get to know the Holy Spirit. Now, we've been looking at a number of verses, and I chose these verses over the first 3 weeks specifically because it was the verses where Jesus Himself is speaking and describing the Holy Spirit. So we're looking at the verses where Jesus describes to the disciples and thus to you and I the Holy Spirit. And that makes sense because what better way to get to know the Holy Spirit than from the one who knows Him best, Jesus Himself. So let's, as a quick review, not do anything quickly, but as a review, let's look at some of those verses that we looked at specifically. And again, these are the verses that Jesus, where He Himself is telling us, introducing us, describing to us the Holy Spirit. So one of the first verses we looked at, I'm going to look at a couple of these from the Amplified Bible. John chapter 16, verse number 7. We're going to be looking at John an awful lot. So keep your finger in John. We're going to be there an awful lot. John chapter 16, verse number 7. This is how it reads in the Amplified Bible. And this is Jesus speaking, Jesus' description to us of the Holy Spirit. However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send Him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Here's one of the most important things for us to understand. The Holy Spirit has come so that He can be in close fellowship with you. This is a personal thing. This is how God Himself gets personal with you and I. He's in close fellowship with us. Let's go back one chapter, John chapter 15, verse number 4. Again, I'm going to show it up here from the Amplified Bible. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. The danger of reading these verses over again, it gets me all excited about what I taught before, and I kind of want to go back and teach it again, but I will not yield to that temptation. So, what this verse is telling us in a nutshell, we are vitally united to the Lord through the Holy Spirit. So the manner by which God himself dwells, we know from the Bible that it says the Holy Spirit dwells in us, that God dwells in us. God dwells in us and we dwell in him. It's through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the vehicle. He is the means by which God dwells in us and by which we in turn dwell in him. It's something that actually takes place because the very Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, dwells within our spirit, tying us directly to Jesus Christ, tying us directly to the throne room, tying us to that spiritual realm. We live in this natural realm that we see, that we touch, but there's another reality, the spiritual reality. It is the greater reality. All of this will pass away. The spiritual reality is the greater reality. And though we can't see it because this natural reality blinds us to it, that spiritual reality, the greater reality, we are always tied to that reality because the Holy Spirit ties us. His Spirit in our spirit is that spiritual umbilical cord that ties us directly to the spiritual realm. Go back one more chapter. We're going backwards in the Bible. John chapter 14, verse number 26. I'm not going to give you too much time to find this because there's only one chapter backwards. John 14, verse number 26. But the Comforter, Counselor. You know, I said this is in the New... Oh, it is in the Amplified. Good. The Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Again, this is Jesus speaking these words and describing the Holy Spirit to us. Who the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. The Holy Spirit in you is acting on behalf of Jesus Christ himself. He will teach you all things and will cause you to recall, will remind you, bring to your remembrance everything that I have told you. Several points here. There's a whole lot we could talk about this, but I just want to focus on a few points. First of all, it says that he will teach us all things. That is all encompassing. Whatever knowledge you need for life, he will teach you what you need to know. He will teach us all things. But I want to look at that in a very specific way, because this is a key point. He will teach us all things. We should have an expectancy. We should expect revelation and understanding. Every time we pick up the Word of God and read it, we should expect revelation and understanding, because the Holy Spirit himself is going to teach us, reveal things to us. You know, if I read the Bible out loud and I'm reading it with Rachel and she hears me, the Holy Spirit's going to reveal some things to me because he knows me. But as the Holy Spirit is speaking to Rachel, he's going to speak something to Rachel specifically. He'll reveal things to her that apply to her life and where she's at that only the Holy Spirit knows. I can stand up here and I can teach you the Word of God. And I can teach you, and I believe the Holy Spirit speaks to me to share with you. But I can't know what's going on in your life on a daily basis. The Holy Spirit does. And so he will teach you all things. Expect when you pick up the Word of God and read it, there's going to be revelation that is relevant and pertinent to your life, specifically at that moment and that day. And it also says that the Holy Spirit, when he's taught you something from the Word, when he has personally taught you something, he will bring it back to your recollection later. He'll remind you of it when you need to recall it. Now, don't take this the wrong way. It's good to get the Word of God in here and have it memorized. But sometimes we spend so much time trying and struggling to memorize the Word of God. All we need to do, if you spend time here in the Word of God, it's getting in here. And the Holy Spirit, who will teach you from it, he will bring it back to your remembrance. When you can either trust on your memory, Donna will tell you, my memory's kind of failing a lot. Never has been a great memory. Got that from Mom, too, I think. My memory's not good. However, I can either trust in my memory or I can trust in the memory of the Holy Spirit. You know, he's going to show me all things. Now, that verse also said that the Holy Spirit will be the Comforter. He will be the counselor. He'll be the helper. He'll be the advocate. He'll be the intercessor. He'll be the strengthener. We need that kind of person in our lives daily. I mean, we need to have somebody. Tomorrow, you're going to be going back to work. There's going to be something that comes up in your life, or back to school, or whatever your day is tomorrow. You're going to have you're going to be facing something that you want some counsel on. You want someone who's going to be there to help you, to be your advocate, to intercede for you, to be your strengthener. How many times in life do you just wish there was somebody that would strengthen me for the day? You have that. It is in you already, in the person of the Holy Spirit. This is who he says that he is. Now, it also says that he's our standby. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. It's like he is standing by us at all things. There is nothing that you go through in this life that you go through it alone. Everything that you go through, the Holy Spirit is going through it with you. When you go through struggles, when you go through trials, when you go through hardships, when you go through difficult times, the way we're created, we're designed by God to want to not go through those things alone. We're created to want someone who loves us to go through it with us. Listen, if I'm going through a hard time, I want Donna to go through it with me. I'm going to bring her into it. Because I want to know, as I'm going through a struggle, I want to know there's somebody who loves me that is going through this with me. When we're going through struggles and trials and hardships in life, we want to know that somebody who loves us and wants us to succeed is going through it with us. That is the person of the Holy Spirit. This is why we want to get to know the Holy Spirit better. That's why we want to continue to know him. John chapter 14, verse number 17, still in the Amplified Bible. John 14, 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him or know or recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. Again, remember, all of these verses are Jesus himself describing to us the Holy Spirit. No one knows the Holy Spirit better than Jesus. These are his descriptions to us. And what this is saying to us here, I mean, what Jesus is saying is the world cannot welcome the Holy Spirit into their hearts. Because the world, having not accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit does not dwell in their spirit. So the world can't accept the Holy Spirit into their hearts. But you and I, because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. But just because we have the Holy Spirit in our heart, or in our spirit, just because we have the Holy Spirit in our spirit, that doesn't mean, now listen to this, you have the Holy Spirit in your spirit. When you were saved, he came to dwell in you. But just because the Holy Spirit is in your spirit doesn't mean that we've welcomed him from our spirit into our soul. There's a difference that's there. Remember, we're three parts, spirit, soul, and body. So the Holy Spirit dwells in my spirit. We all got that? Holy Spirit dwells in my spirit, but I have to welcome him into my soul. Now, hopefully you guys have this by now, but what's the soul? Because we're spirit, soul, and body. Yeah, our soul is our mind, it's our thoughts, it's our intellect, it's our personality, it's our will. It's that unique, eternal creation that is you. That's your soul. Your spirit is something different. It's also eternal, but it's something different. Your spirit is where the Holy Spirit resides. But I have to welcome the Holy Spirit from my spirit into my soul. The Holy Spirit just doesn't automatically come from my spirit to my soul. It doesn't just happen. There has to be a determination of my will, which is my soul. There has to be a determination of my will to welcome the Holy Spirit from my spirit into my soul. That makes sense? All right, let's look at John 16, verse 13. We get through this one. I spent all this time getting you caught up. Then we'll have some new information. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak for himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Again, there's so much that we can say about this. I just want to focus on that last verse there. He will show you things to come, the very end of that verse. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. The example that I gave you before is Donna and I hanging up in my wall. It's one of the prophecies that God had spoken to Don and I 20 years ago. There's been a lot of prophecies that have been spoken over us. And we're starting to see, well, we have been seeing some of those prophecies coming to pass. So the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. He will show you those things so that you can prepare for them and you can go forward in faith in those things. When we welcome the Holy Spirit from our spirit into our souls, one of the things that we get is He speaks to us, and He speaks to us those things and shows us things to come so we can move forward in faith. Okay, so that brings us to getting caught up. I want to show you one more verse from John to add to all those other ones. And again, I emphasize, this is Jesus Himself describing the Holy Spirit to you and I. So this is from John chapter 15, verse number 26. Everybody still with me? Would you say no? Okay, good. John 15, 26 says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me." Now, Jesus is saying these words, but remember, when Jesus is speaking these words that we're reading right here, when He's speaking these words, the Holy Spirit has not yet come to dwell within man. Because Jesus, He's still on the earth. He hasn't completed the sacrificial work yet. So the Holy Spirit has not yet come to dwell within man. But look at what the same author, John, says about the Holy Spirit. Because these are Jesus' words. But recognize, these are Jesus' words recorded for us by John. So John has written these words for us. And these are the words before the Holy Spirit has come to dwell within man. But I want you to look at what the same author, John, says about the Holy Spirit after the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ is completed, after the Holy Spirit has come to dwell within man. I want you to see what the same author, John, says. If we go to 1 John, so we're going all the way to the back of the Bible. Revelation, before Revelation is Jude. Then you have the three books of John. So 1 John chapter 5, verse number 9. Again, remember, John just recorded these words to us about the Holy Spirit that Jesus spoke. But now listen to this, and there's a point in this. If we accept, as we do, the testimony of men, if we're willing to take human authority, he's saying, if you're willing, we are willing to accept the testimony of Jesus Christ from men. If we're willing to accept the testimony of Jesus Christ from men, then the testimony of God is greater, of stronger authority. For this is the testimony of God, even the witness, which is the Holy Spirit, even the witness which He has borne regarding His Son. So again, remember, both of these verses, if you look at these two verses, I have them right in front of me. You can't see them both. If you remember, I'll just show you this. Both of these verses show us or refer to the testimony of the Holy Spirit regarding Jesus Christ. Now, they both use the word either testimony or testify. It's the same word. In the Gospel, John 15, 26, it says, He will testify. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, He will testify of me. Here in 1 John chapter 5, it says, testimony of God. So they both talk or refer to the testimony of the Holy Spirit regarding God. But here's the interesting thing. The two words, it's the same word, testify, testimony. In both these verses, it's the same word, but there's a subtle difference in the Greek between the two different words. And I just love this. If you go back to the Gospel, John chapter 15, verse number 26, when it says that the Holy Spirit will testify of me, that word testify means that the Holy Spirit will testify to us. So this is saying that the Holy Spirit will testify to us about who Jesus is. Now this makes sense when you stop and think about this because again, this is Jesus describing the Holy Spirit to us. This is Jesus making the introduction. Is that me? I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah, okay, so in the gospel, it says that in the gospel message, so in that first one, before the Holy Spirit's come to dwell within man, it says that the Holy Spirit will testify to us regarding. So this is the Holy Spirit telling us who Jesus is, which again makes sense because this is Jesus' introduction to us. He's introducing us to the Holy Spirit. And remember, the Bible tells us that no one comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ except for through the Holy Spirit. So that makes sense. So he's testifying to us. Now, if you have that same word in 1 John, this is after the completed work of Jesus Christ. This is after the fact that the Holy Spirit has now come to dwell within the hearts of men, to dwell within our spirits. It says the word testimony there, it says testify or testimony of God. The word testify or testimony there means to testify of God. That sounds like a subtle difference. It's subtle, but it's important. The first one was God testifies to us. This is God testifies of us. And now this is exactly what it says when you go and you read this in the Strong's Concordance. This is saying, this is telling us that the Holy Spirit will testify of God through signs and wonders that he works through you. There are two roles that we see. Well, there's many roles. But I love these two verses because it shows us two roles of the Holy Spirit. First of all, it shows us that the Holy Spirit testifies to us. It's by the Holy Spirit. You wouldn't have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit testifying to you on who Jesus was. But then it says, once the Holy Spirit has taught you that, and once we've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, now the Holy Spirit testifies through us of God through signs and wonders that he does in our lives. This makes me want to know the Holy Spirit a whole lot more. You guys should have got excited there. This is two different roles that the Holy Spirit shows. All right, so these are the verses. All of those verses I've looked at from John. Those are all, again, the verses of Jesus Christ himself giving description and introduction to the disciples and to you and I on who the Holy Spirit is. Jesus' own words, his words to describe to the disciples the person of the Holy Spirit. Helpful, right? If we can see all those verses and we see that this is Jesus telling us who those, that's helpful. Try to look like it's really helpful because I spent a lot of time putting that together. Just say, yes, that's really helpful, Todd. Okay, good. But it's also very beneficial for us to stop and consider the context in which Jesus spoke every one of those verses that I've shared with you. Because Jesus spoke all of those verses. He spoke every one of those words at a one defined and poignant moment in his life. All those verses I just read, all of those Jesus spoke while he was with the disciples at the time of the Last Supper in the upper room. I got to stop moving. At the time of the Last Supper with his disciples. All of these verses Jesus spoke to his disciples during the Last Supper. So if you look at it, if you look in John chapter 13, in John chapter 13, it starts with, it begins by saying, and the supper concluded. And then we see that Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. And then if you read through the rest of chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, and chapter 17, these are all the words of Jesus that he's speaking to his disciples at that same night in the upper room. If you go to the end of chapter, the last verse we'll look at in a few minutes from chapter 17, he's still talking to the disciples. You go to chapter 18, it starts off by saying that Jesus and the disciples, having left the upper room, are on their way to Gethsemane, to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's about to be betrayed. So this is, think about it, all these verses that I've read, Jesus' description, all of these verses of Jesus describing the Holy Spirit, all of them, this is his final moments of fellowship with his disciples. This is his final teaching to the disciples. These are his final teachings for them. And look at these final teachings. His final teachings are laced with descriptions of the Holy Spirit. An introduction, introducing us to who the Holy Spirit is. That's powerful. All these main verses we've been looking at from John, all of these verses are Jesus speaking to his disciples in the upper room at the Last Supper. And here's something. This is the same upper room that in just a few weeks' time, in Acts chapter 2, these disciples are coming back. They will receive the Holy Spirit with fire in that very same upper room. So all of these descriptions that Jesus gave of the Holy Spirit, they're all in that upper room, same place that they're going to come back to and receive. So we don't usually consider the Holy Spirit When we think about the Last Supper, when we think about Passover, we don't usually consider the Holy Spirit. But obviously, we should be considering the Holy Spirit because Jesus did. At the Supper, he talked about this so much. We should be considering this as well. So with that in mind, let's think about parts of that story with that in mind. So again, it starts in John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, Jesus is washing the feet of the disciples. Now, we understand that this act of washing the feet of the disciples, we understand this is a demonstration that Jesus is giving to them, and in effect, he's given to us as his followers, demonstrating to us that we need to be servants just as he was a servant. So he's demonstrating that to us. But there's something more that's going on here with the washing of the feet. There's something else that he's doing. Purity is a big part. I'm saying this slow so it will sink in. Purity is a big part of receiving the things of the Lord under the law. Under the law, purity played a big role in being able to receive the things of the Lord. Got that in your mind? So the Jews in the time of Jesus, the Jews had to be in Jerusalem, and they had to go to the temple in Jerusalem 3 times every year. Jesus did every year of his life. They had to go, because of the law, they had to go to the temple for the Feast of Tabernacles, for Passover, and for Pentecost. And they had to go, and they had to be ritually pure in going to Jerusalem. Now, one of the things that Don and I learned when we were in Israel, and we saw this, at the temple, there was a lot of mikvahs, or spiritual baths, ritual baths. And they would come during these times. The average person would come, and to be purified, they would walk into this mikvah. You would walk down these steps, and you would get increasingly deeper until you were submerged in the water. Then you would walk back out the steps, and thus you were ritually pure. So purity is an important part. Now, let's go back to what Jesus is doing with his disciples here. Are y'all still with me? This is really cool. Go back to what Jesus is doing with the disciples. At this moment, he's washing their feet. He's preparing them for the ultimate, where Jesus himself is going to be the Passover lamb. So he's preparing them for that ultimate Passover, but he's only washing. He's not washing their entire body. This is what would have been expected to be ritually pure. Jesus doesn't do that. All Jesus is doing is just washing their feet. Now, we accept this because we've read this so many times, but why? If to be ritually pure, you have to purify the whole body, why did Jesus only wash the feet of the disciples? Well, Jesus was about to become the sacrifice for all sin. And those who would accept the sacrifice that Jesus gave would be pure. They would be washed clean of all sin. And according to Hebrews, they'd be washed clean of all sin once and for all. But symbolically, as we walk through life, as we're walking through life, we're walking through a fallen world. So we are pure, spiritually we're pure, but we're walking through a fallen world, and as such, we're getting dirty. There's a part of us, the outside of us, that's getting dirty. Now, you don't have to be purified again. You are, when you accepted Jesus Christ, you are purified once and for all. You are the purity and you are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You don't need to be purified again. However, as we're going through life, we do need to, in this life, we need to purify our minds and our thoughts because we're walking through the garbage of this world. We're walking through the fallen world. This is why the focus on the feet. You don't have to go there, but Romans 12:2 says this, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." This is what Jesus was demonstrating to us by washing the feet of the disciples. He's washing the feet only because the Spirit and remains pure. That's exciting. That's a great revelation. All right, so Jesus follows this by saying in verse number 16. So we're still in John chapter 13. Maybe it won't move as much if it's up here. Huh? All right, so this is what it says in verse number 16. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than the one who sent him. Jesus here is preparing his disciples. He's preparing to send his disciples out as his disciples to serve as he served. He's preparing to send them out into the world in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's preparing to do. Now go down four verses and look at John chapter 13, verse number 20. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, he who receives and welcomes and takes into his heart, any messenger of mine receives me in just that way. And he who receives and welcomes and takes into his heart and receives him who sent me in that same way. Clearly what Jesus is saying here, Jesus is saying that his disciples are being sent out as his messengers to the world. That's clearly what he's saying. But there's something more that's going on here. There's another deeper revelation that's taking place here. When you read this in the Amplified Bible, does any of this sound familiar to you? Because it should. Because he's talking about those who receive and welcome. And remember, we had seen earlier that one of the things that Jesus told us about the Holy Spirit is that the world cannot welcome the Holy Spirit into their hearts or into their souls. However, you and I can and are expected to welcome the Holy Spirit from our spirit into our souls. That's what we're supposed to do. So also, the secondary meaning of this and the more spiritual meaning of this is the messenger that he's talking about here. The messenger is the Holy Spirit that Jesus is getting ready to send shortly to send out to be the testimony, to give testimony of who he is. And so they, the disciples, which is also you and I, the disciples of today. So the disciples, they are supposed to welcome the Holy Spirit from their spirit, you and I, from our spirit into our soul so that the Holy Spirit can move through us with power. Good. All right, so I'm going to look at just a couple more things because we're going to go way to the end now. So let's go to chapter 17, John chapter 17. Remember, I told you that all of these things that Jesus said, identifying and describing the Holy Spirit to us, it's in chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. That's all in the upper room, all talking to his disciples, last teachings. Let's go to chapter 17. And we're going to look at a couple of these verses. These are some of the final things that Jesus is saying. These are his final teachings to his disciples about his whole ministry. And look at the focus on the Holy Spirit. So, John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23. I do not pray for these alone, but also I pray for those who will believe in me through their... He's talking about us. I do not pray for these alone, not just the disciples that are here, but I also pray for those who will believe in me through their word, through the word of the disciples that's come forward to us, that they may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I've given them. And that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Go home, read these verses over in your mind, meditate and think about the things we've talked about so far because that is so rich in Jesus' prayer. But here's the things that I want you to see about it today. We read these verses, and what we usually do is tie these verses and we think about it only in the terms of the unity of the body of Christ, the unity of believers. And that's a part of it. But again, there's something deeper that's being said here. Again, remember, this is Jesus. He's making his final teachings to the disciples. And those teachings are laced with introductions and descriptions of who the Holy Spirit is. And he's speaking these words. He's speaking about the unity of you and I in Jesus Christ. The oneness that we have. Remember, Jesus just gave the introduction on who the Holy Spirit was. He just explained to the disciples that the Holy Spirit is the vehicle by which God will dwell in man and that man will dwell in him. This is unity in God. This is what Jesus is talking about. So Jesus' prayer here in these verses, Jesus' prayer is that they, when he says they, he means you. He means we. His prayer is that we would be one in us. He's saying, Father, Let them, that they may be one in unity with us. This is the oneness of the Holy Spirit. This is the unity of being with Him. We are one with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. The world will see the truth of Jesus Christ being God made flesh and being the one who was the sacrifice for our sins. The world will see that truth through the power of our oneness with Him. It is through your unity with God the Father and Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. It's with your unity through the Holy Spirit that the power of the Holy Spirit flows through us and operates in our lives with signs and wonders that the world will see and know that Jesus is who He said He is. So two final verses, still in John chapter 17. We're getting right to the end of the 17th chapter. In verse number 24, in the Amplified Bible, it reads this way, "Father, I desire that they also whom you have entrusted to me as your gift to me may be with me where I am so that they may see my glory which you've given me, your love gift to me. For you loved me before the foundations of the world." Jesus' prayer here is that we would be with Him where He is. Where's Jesus? Right now, Jesus is seated right now in the heavenly realms. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's in the spiritual realm. Jesus' prayer is that you and I, as believers, would be with Him where He is. This gets back to the whole thing I was trying to tell you weeks ago. The Holy Spirit is that spiritual umbilical cord. The Holy Spirit in our spirit connects our spirit to the spiritual realm. You can't see it again because this physical realm blinds us to it, but your spirit is tied directly to the spiritual realm. You are right now seated. You are right now seated with Jesus Christ in those heavenly realms. This is what Jesus prayed, that we would be with Him. And He goes on. Not only does He say, "God, that they would be with me where I am," you are physically sitting here at City on a Hill, but you are spiritually, as a believer in Jesus Christ, seated with Him in the heavenly realms. But that's not enough. Jesus also prays that they will see my glory. It's through the Holy Spirit and through the power of the Holy Spirit, the testimony that He gives of God through us by signs and wonders. This is Jesus saying, "I want them to see my glory, to see the power of the Holy Spirit operating in and through them, to see the supernatural and to see the victories of Jesus Christ in their lives." This is what Jesus is praying for. All right, here's the final thing Jesus speaks to His disciples in the upper room. All of these verses are Jesus describing the Holy Spirit to you and I. And He's doing it to the disciples as they're in the upper room at the Last Supper. Here's His last thing, verse number 26. "And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." His love is in you, because Jesus Christ Himself dwells within you in the person of the Holy Spirit. That is an awesome understanding and revelation. These are the things, these are the verses that Jesus Himself shares with us, that we would understand, that we would get to know the Holy Spirit a little bit better. Amen? Jesus, we thank You for Your words. And I thank You that as we think about these verses, and as we go back and we read through John 13 through 17, that You show us even greater understanding. Because we want to know You. We want to know You, Holy Spirit. We want to know You better. You've testified to us on who Jesus is, and we thank You that that's brought us to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But we also believe what You spoke through 1 John, and that You will testify of You, Jesus, through us with the signs and the wonders, with the supernatural, with Your faithfulness being demonstrated through our lives on a daily basis. So we thank You and praise You for that. In Your name, Jesus, You be glorified. Amen. Amen.